Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Michael Dukakis created jobs three times faster than you did, Mitt.
Well, as a matter of fact, George Bush and his predecessor created jobs at a faster rate than you did, Governor.
That's not correct.
Yeah, that is correct.
Nice to see everybody came prepared for tonight's conversation.
NBC's Brian Williams noting that Texas Governor Rick Perry and former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney came prepared to mix it up last night in the Republican primary debate. Let's hear some more highlights, lowlights, and midlights, and talk about the debate with Raihan Salam, columnist at The Daily, that's Rupert Murdoch's iPad newspaper, and blogger for The Agenda at National Review Online. Hi, Raihan. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks very much for having me.
And our phones are open for registered Republicans. Did you watch the debate? Did you look up MSNBC on your channel guide and go be a tourist on the station where Rachel Maddow hosted the post-debate analysis? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for registered Republicans. And, you know, everyone talks about New Hampshire and Iowa and South Carolina, but lots of these primary seasons, just remember 2008, set up New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut just a little later in the year as actually big decision days. So Republicans in our area matter too. So call us if you're a registered Republican, likely to vote in a 2012 primary, and react to this debate or even the clips of the debate that you've been hearing on the news. And we'll do our usual thing and not just play the 15-second sound bites, but some extended excerpts to give you more context. But for registered Republicans, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Or post to our politics website. It's a freecountry.org. We have a page for this debate reaction. It's a freecountry.org. Raihan, does that whole back and forth over which governor created more jobs, doesn't that make voters' heads spin? Is anyone going to choose a candidate based on an exchange like that?
I doubt it, but what really matters is what you convey. Do you convey a sense of command? And what Rick Perry did there is something he did throughout the debate. He was very aggressive. He kept going after not only Romney, but also Ron Paul and a host of other candidates. I mean, and I think that that's something that's going to translate.
Interesting that he went after Ron Paul. Everybody says Ron Paul can't win, which is probably true. But do you think Perry is trying to build a coalition by chipping away at, let's say, that consistent 9% or whatever it is that Ron Paul always gets?
I think that's absolutely right. I think that what you've seen is, you know, Ron Paul was seen as a fringe candidate, but many of the themes that Ron Paul has raised in the past are now at the center of a lot of intra-Republican debates, and he does have that very solid base of support. He's now ahead of Michelle Bachmann in the polls, and that is a sign of that enduring, strong, conservative grassroots constituency that he has.
The topic getting the most attention post-debate is Social Security. And Perry sticking to his guns that it's a Ponzi scheme and a, quote, monstrous lie, while Romney reaffirmed his commitment to strengthening it. Here is a minute and a half extended excerpt of each of their remarks.
People who are on Social Security today, men and women who are receiving those benefits today, are individuals of my age that are on in line pretty quick to get them. They don't need to worry about anything. But I think the Republican candidates are talking about ways to transition this program. And it is a monstrous lie. It is a Ponzi scheme to tell our kids that are 25 or 30 years old today, you're paying into a program that's going to be there. Anybody that's for the status quo with Social Security today is involved with a monstrous lie to our kids, and it's not right.
Governor Romney, let's be blunt. Let's be blunt. Democrats are itching to use that kind of provocative language against Republicans, yet you acknowledge yourself that Social Security has funding problems. How do you have a candid conversation about Social Security without scaring seniors?
Well, the issue is not the funding of Social Security. We all agree and have for years that the funding program of Social Security is not working, and Congress has been raiding the dollars from Social Security to pay for annual government expenditures. That's wrong. The funding, however, is not the issue. The issue in the book Fed Up, Governor, is you say that by any measure, Social Security is a failure. You can't say that to tens of millions of Americans who live on Social Security and those who have lived on it. The governor says, look, states ought to be able to opt out of Social Security. Our nominee has to be someone who isn't committed to abolishing Social Security, but who's committed to saving Social Security.
So Mitt Romney, preceded by Rick Perry on Social Security at last night's debate with John Harris from Politico, asking the question in the middle. Raihan Salam, our guest on WNYC from National Review Online and The Daily. And our phones are open for registered Republicans who might actually vote in a Republican primary next year. What did you think of that clip or anything else if you watch the debate? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post it to our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. So Raihan, has it really come to this in the Republican Party, or is this just a way a Democrat would ask it, that they have a front-running presidential hopeful who's telling young Americans Social Security will not be there for you when you grow old, rather than he will make the tough choices to see that it will?
I think that it was actually the most important question. I think it's an essential contrast, and I was very impressed that Mitt Romney took the bait and engaged the question, because voters care about this. Republican primary voters are actually skewed older than the general electorate. In 2005, President Bush ran into serious hot water with Republicans over Social Security. And in my view, the real problem is actually Medicare and not Social Security. And I think that Mitt Romney was right to actually take on Rick Perry on that question, because I think that Rick Perry, while it's true that Social Security has a lot of problems, I think that his language is language that he's going to have to pay for with a general electorate and perhaps also with the primary electorate. So you really need to draw out these contrasts for voters to get a sense of what these candidates really believe.
Is it clear, though, what they would do differently about Social Security? When Perry calls it a monstrous lie to tell young people that a program that they're paying into is going to be there for them when they get old, is that the same thing as saying, so when I'm president, I'm going to propose the abolition of Social Security or the conversion to an entirely private system? And Romney, who probably also supports some Bush-style privatization, I don't know. Are they actually going to be different when they get into office?
I think that's a really great point. I think that the problem with using this kind of apocalyptic rhetoric is that it tells us very little. Rick Perry has already backtracked from some of his remarks in the book Fed Up. He's already said, wait a second, I'm not saying I'm going to abolish these programs. So wait a second, if you're not going to abolish them, why call them a monstrous lie? And I think that that's really all about projecting a certain very tough image rather than giving very specific and detailed proposals about what you want to do. And I imagine that their approaches would, in fact, be different. But it's certainly true that both of them want to reform the program.
Ray in Whippany, you're on WNYC. Ray, thanks for calling.
Hey, no problem. Thank you for having me.
So what do you think?
Well, actually, I think I'm not crazy myself. As a registered Republican, I'm not crazy about Rick Perry, but I think he hit the nail on the head last night. You know, as a younger voter, I'm someone under 30. You have to be out of your mind to think at my age that Social Security is going to be there in its current state unless there are massive changes, you know, to occur. I mean, of course, I don't know how you could deal with it with seniors, but for someone my age, it's nice and it's refreshing to hear someone to actually say, to have the candor to say, you know, this is a program that's severely flawed and, you know, it's probably not going to be there in its current form unless a major overhaul is done.
And when Romney puts it in less apocalyptic terms and says, quote, we all agree and have for years that the funding program of Social Security is not working, that's not enough? Or is that really saying the same thing, but it just didn't break through because he wasn't packing as much of a punch?
Absolutely. I agree with that. Is that, you know, he's, you know, he put it in nicer, softer, more general election terms.
Ray, thank you very much. What would you, if you had a vote today, who do you think you'd vote for?
I would vote for John Huntsman today.
Thank you very much. Well, he brings up John Huntsman. Maybe we should hear a little John Huntsman, who was also there in the debate. And again, this revolves around Rick Perry, who stuck to his guns on global warming skepticism. And that was the biggest contrast with former Utah Governor John Huntsman. Let's hear both of them. We have Perry first.
Well, I do agree that there is the science is not settled on this. The idea that we would put Americans' economy at jeopardy based on scientific theory that's not settled yet, it is nonsense. I mean, I tell somebody, I said, just because you have a group of scientists that have stood up and said, here is the fact, Galileo got outvoted for a spell.
We can't run from science. We can't run from mainstream conservative philosophy. We've got to win voters. We've got to make sure that we have somebody who can win based upon numbers, the math that will get us there. And by making comments that basically don't reflect the reality of the situation, we turn people off.
So John Huntsman, preceded by Rick Perry. Raihan Salam, did you get Perry's whole Galileo thing?
I think I did, which is that I guess there's some views that are not held by a majority of people that are sometimes vindicated in the long run. But I thought it was definitely very odd. I also thought one thing that was striking about Huntsman's remarks is that he says, well, look, this is what climate scientists believe. It's widespread. I'm not going to contest that. But then he made a political case to Republican primary voters, many of whom are skeptical about climate science, but saying, look, wait a second. You know, if this is something that most people believe outside of our little small tent, then it's something that, you know, it doesn't make sense to contest that claim. Rather, let's talk about the real numbers. Let's talk about what are the policies that actually make sense. And I think that that is actually a much shrewder strategy.
And did either of them do that, Huntsman or Perry?
I think that Huntsman didn't really talk about the policies in his answer, but he was teeing up for saying that Republicans, rather than say that climate change isn't happening, we should say that our solutions for the problem are actually better. Relying on markets, not relying on top-down control, is the smarter way to go.
Is Perry anti-science, in your opinion, as he's often portrayed, or dismissive of scientific consensus if it's politically incorrect?
Well, I definitely think that he's dismissive not only of scientific consensus, but I think that part of his political brand is the idea that he's dismissive of elite opinion in all kinds of different areas. So I think that it's one manifestation of that broader aspect of his style.
Eileen in New Canaan, you're on WNYC. Hello, Eileen.
Hello, thanks for taking my call. Well, I'm more of an old-style Republican. I would never vote for Rick Perry. I think he's a lunatic. But I was upset that MSNBC and their analysis of the debate didn't recognize that he has a demeanor that I think could be very appealing to the populace in general, because I think when things are terribly desperate, what Americans seem to want is someone who gives off this sort of take charge, I know what I think and I'm going to do it kind of allure.
How would you contrast that with Romney's demeanor as it comes off to you?
As compared to Romney's demeanor. I feel that also that Rick Perry definitely made some points when they tried to call him out on his handling of the vaccination issue, because he came off as sounding like he really cares about people. Uh-huh. And wants to save lives, and I think that kind of sort of almost folksy, I'm just going for the bottom line thing here, mm-hmm. is very popular right now, because Obama is projecting such more of a I got to sit back and think about this kind of demeanor,
right?
And I
right
you know,
and people want some like Chris Christie.
Yeah, exactly. It scares me because I think this country is going to be in real trouble if Rick Perry gets elected, but I don't think we can rule him out yet.
Yeah. And what do you think of Romney, since he's the main competitor at this point? What do you think of his demeanor?
Well, I thought it was a heck of a lot better last night than I've ever seen it. Hmm. I think he was quick on his feet, and he was more jocular than he usually is. I just don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't know if he's electable.
Who would you vote for today in the Republican primary?
Well, I was also impressed with Huntsman, but I think more he's not quite ready. I'd probably vote for Romney.
Eileen, thank you very much. So, Raihan?
I think that Eileen is an extremely astute political commentator. I think that she raised a lot of really great and important points, and one of the most central of which is that, for example, on Gardasil, on the anti-HBV vaccine, Rick Perry took a position that a lot of social conservatives have been very critical
of. And let me, for people who didn't watch the debate, I also thought that was a very interesting moment in the debate. And the issue is that as governor of Texas, Perry issued an executive order that all young girls get this HPV vaccine. And that matters because HPV, which is a sexually transmitted disease, has a high association with cancer later in life. But then he came under a lot of pressure and pick it up there from social conservatives.
Yeah, he came up under a lot of pressure, not only from social conservatives, but actually a lot of folks said, wait a second, this vaccine is very new. And now you're suggesting that it be mandated. There are a lot of people in the public health field who thought that was a bit nuts. There are also some people who suggest that because Rick Perry had a former employee who worked for Merck, the company that made the vaccine, that perhaps there was some cronyism at work. I think that that might be a bit unfair. But what he projected in the debate was, hey, I'm against cancer. And I'm for saving lives. And if that's what I'm going to do, that's what I'm going to do. He didn't shy away from it. And I thought that that is something that, as Eileen suggests, demonstrates something about his mettle, his steeliness that might appeal to a lot of voters and not just to Republican voters. So that remains to be seen.
He did, as governor, backtrack on the issue enough to include a parental opt-out provision, correct?
That's right. And certainly it's something that he had to abandon at least, but he has not abandoned the principle behind it, which I thought was interesting.
And Rick Santorum is probably the biggest social conservative, or perhaps the biggest social conservative on a stage of social conservatives, said, well, parental opt-out is not good enough for me. I would like to see parental opt-in, where the girls don't automatically get it unless the parent speaks up, but rather somebody would have to proactively choose to get that vaccination. And Eileen also mentioned, what was the other thing she brought up? Well, on Romney in general. And Eileen's a Connecticut Republican, and the polls show Rick Perry out in front of this field among Republicans nationally and in Iowa and in South Carolina, but the polls have been showing Romney still ahead in New Hampshire, which is so important, although I think the last major poll there is kind of stale now. I think it was taken August 16th, so we'll see what comes out. But Romney at that point had a 3-1 lead versus Perry. I don't know. Do you think Romney is just a more Northeast-friendly candidate in his demeanor or other ways?
I think that's true. I think that both of the candidates, a lot of what matters is what do these guys sound like? Because actually, Romney takes a lot of very conservative positions on the issues. But really, who does this person remind me of? Does this person look, talk, and sound, have the demeanor of a real conservative? And I think that's one reason why when Perry takes positions that don't seem solidly conservative, people don't really take it in. They don't factor it in. Whereas when Romney takes positions that aren't, then it fits this broader narrative that he's a squish, that he's a moderate.
All right. Now, we do want to recognize that there were six other candidates on that stage last night, other than Rick Perry and Mitt Romney, although it was hard to tell from the amount of airtime that they were given. So here at least is a montage of the others. This won't include Huntsman, since we did play a clip of him. So this is the five other candidates on the NBC stage last night.
Obamacare is killing jobs. We know that from the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office, but I know it firsthand from speaking to people.
I call it my 999 economic growth plan. A 9% tax on corporate income, a 9% tax on personal income, and a 9% national sales tax.
We want to build the great middle of America again. Get those jobs that were shipped overseas by companies that were looking to make a profit because they couldn't any longer do it here, and bring those jobs back to America.
This is a president so committed to class war and so committed to bureaucratic socialism that he can't possibly be effective in jobs.
So did anybody else land? It was 18 minutes past the hour before Newt Gingrich got his first word and first screenshot, and I thought, my goodness, how far some people have fallen.
Well, Newt Gingrich certainly did an excellent and fierce job as a media critic, and one wonders if he's angling for a television program after the debate.
Angling? Well, he's already a Fox News commentator.
It's certainly true, but I can imagine a three-hour-long program where he just yells at the TV and sort of complains about various other things. I thought that he was very forceful, and I think that he certainly seemed to be trying to make friends with the other Republican candidates, which was a funny position to take for someone who wants to defeat them in primaries. Michelle Bachmann is in free fall, and it's been really amazing to see how quickly she rose and also how quickly she's fallen into the second tier and maybe into the third tier soon enough. As for the others, I think that Herman Cain is certainly very colorful, has a gift for aphorisms, is very quick on his feet, and I think that he certainly left a positive impression. And Rick Santorum, just a hard-edged guy. He's just doesn't really project a very warm demeanor, and I sense that his days in the race are numbered, but I guess we'll see.
Dan in Tenafly, you're on WNYC, registered Republican.
Well, I was just thinking about what Perry had said. Obviously,
we should all go out now
and cancel our life insurance, our auto insurance, our health insurance, because it's all a Ponzi scheme. We're investing now to get something back later in case something happens.
Thank you. I guess Dan isn't a registered Republican. But Social Security is not like commercial insurance, right? In commercial insurance, you pay into a pot. The insurance company invests the money. They have these actuarial tables which let them know that except in the rarest circumstances, they're going to take in a lot more money from a lot of people's premiums than they're going to pay out from the small percentage that actually makes a claim. In Social Security, ultimately everybody makes a claim. And the money that's been collected over the years by the federal government, and this is such a crime against the people, tell me if you disagree, has not been put away in a lockbox. They spend it on the general fund year after year. So the government has been spending the money that they're supposed to be saving for everybody's old age as everybody contributes it.
Yeah, Social Security is a pay-as-you-go system, and that means that today's retirees are paid for by today's workers. And the problem we have is that as the number of workers shrinks and as the number of retirees grows, as that ratio changes, it becomes much harder to sustain a lot of these programs.
Lisa in Chappaqua, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lisa. Let me press this button.
Hi,
sorry,
how are
Lisa,
you?
My mistake. Now we got you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
I can. Registered Republican?
Registered Republican.
And?
And I would like to see a Romney-Perry ticket. I think that Romney would be better on top. Romney has more administrative experience because one of the things about the Texas governor position is one of the weakest in the United States in terms of what is allocated through the state's constitution to give power to the governor. So although Perry's been in elected office for 1 million years and he's popular in Texas and I've met him and driven him to a fundraiser, he, while very articulate and charismatic, I don't know that he would actually have the perfect experience, but I think the two of them combined would be a very attractive ticket.
Interesting. Lisa, thank you. And we're almost out of time, Raihan, but you know, I was wondering if Herman Cain was running for vice president up there. But I don't know. What do you think about a Romney-Perry ticket or an anybody-anybody ticket if we want to mention the idea of vice presidential nominee?
Well, I think that Huntsman, with his calm, cool demeanor, with his independent, friendly pitch, would make an interesting choice, although Utah is a solidly Republican state. But on Lisa's point, I think that one thing to keep in mind about Rick Perry is that, in a way, he's turned his office of governor into a much stronger office because he's appointed so many people to so many boards in the state of Texas that he actually has a tremendous amount of influence. So I think that Lisa makes a good point about the constitutional role about the governor of Texas, but actually he's had pretty outsized influence just by virtue of having been there for so long.
Think he would take it?
Do I think he'd take it? Well, that's the thing. It's a very antagonistic relationship between those two. I remember that in 1976, Ronald Reagan gave a very stiff challenge to Gerald Ford, and there was a lot of talk about a Ford-Reagan ticket, which could have been very electorally formidable. But the thing is that Gerald Ford hated Ronald Reagan by the end of the 1976 primaries, and he was not even going to consider the idea, despite the fact that a lot of Republicans clamored for it. So it's possible that that antagonism between these two guys, after months of fierce attacks, will build and build, thus making a ticket a really tough proposition.
By the way, we realized, and I don't know if you noticed it, that one of the voices through an editing error, got left out of our other candidates' montage. And because we are a responsible news organization...
I don't believe in any of these federal regulations, but that doesn't mean I don't believe in regulations. The regulation of the marketplace takes care of it.
Ron Paul gets his moment at the end of our...
Ron Paul, who is playing a very important role in this race, in my opinion.
Go ahead.
Well, I think that, Ron Paul is not going to drop out. And so he is going to be a burr in the saddle of Rick Perry for a long time, because you notice that Ron Paul is very eager to attack Rick Perry and Rick Perry is very eager to fire back. So I think that that's actually going to be a really important dynamic to keep an eye on.
Raihan Salam, columnist at The Daily and blogger for National Review Online's The Agenda. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
And everybody can keep posting your reactions to the debate and read more about the debate at our politics website. It'sAFreeCountry.org. Don't forget, tonight President Obama gives his job speech, and we will have a live chat on It'sAFreeCountry.org during that speech, as we did last night during the debate. So join our politics team for a live online chat at It'sAFreeCountry.org during the president's jobs address tonight. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and when we return in a minute, we will look at the spate of shootings over the weekend in New York City. 67 people shot in the five boroughs in the three-day weekend, and it's raising questions about whether old-style New York crime is coming back. There is another way to look at these statistics, which, by the way, is that total shootings in New York City are still down compared to last year. But we will talk about all of this and what it means, and the incident involving a city council member and a police officer and a public advocate staffer at the West Indian Day Parade. We'll talk about all this with State Senator and former police captain Eric Adams in a minute.